Welcome to the Sim Cafe, a podcast produced by the team at Innovative Sim Solutions, edited by Shelley Hauser. Join our host, Deb Tauber, as she sits down with subject matter experts from across the globe to reimagine clinical education and the use of simulation. So pour yourself a cup of relaxation, sit back, tune in, and learn something new from the Sim Cafe.
Hi, welcome to another episode of the Sim Cafe. Today, we're going to interview Dr. Beth Hallmark. Dr. Hallmark comes with a wide variety of experiences, and she will be sharing them with us. I think the favorite thing I enjoyed about reading her bio is she currently enjoys spending time at the lake, painting, and she's honored to care for her elderly parents. And I think that that speaks to the quality of a person in a simple sentence. Thank you, Beth, for your contributions. Why don't you tell our guests a little bit more about yourself and your journey in simulation?
Thank you, Deb. Thanks for your vision and having so many simulations share their story, because I really feel like we all have a story to tell, and I'm honored to be able to tell mine today. My story begins really early when I was born, and I was born with a pretty rare birth defect and have a sister that has cerebral palsy. And so we spent a lot of time in hospitals. I was hospitalized a lot as a child, and I watched my mother navigate that. While I had a great dad, he was at work, but my mother really navigated that. And she had to figure out what to do, what not to do. And of course, being 57 and my sister's older than myself, there was a lot, it's a lot different now than it was then. And so she really had to be our advocate. And so I grew up wanting to be a pediatric nurse. And so that's what I did. I became a pediatric nurse. I finished my associate's degree first at Samford University in Birmingham. And then I got my BSN from Belmont. And I became a pediatric surgical nurse post-op, taking care of patients on the floor at Vanderbilt University Medical Center, or now it's called the Children's Hospital, but it was just all combined back then. And I realized that I wanted to give back to help those parents and those children, not just as a bedside nurse, but try to help them navigate the home life, what it was going to be like going home, maybe with a child with an ostomy or a G2 or a trach. And so I began to consider going back to get my master's, and I completed my master's in child and family nursing and became a clinical nurse specialist in about 1995. I finished my master's in 94. And interestingly enough, this still informs my practice today. I think about teaching skills to those family members, and we can teach skills to students, but can we teach them to think? A lot of times we're teaching rote things to family members and they don't have a lot of background, the patho or the physiology behind it. And so I really work with that now in my simulation work, helping these students figure out how to think. So moving on through my story, I worked the hours of a surgeon when I became a clinical specialist, and then I had my first child and realized that wasn't what I wanted to do. I didn't want to work 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. So I was told about a job at Belmont where I had finished my bachelor's teaching child and family nursing. And I thought, how hard can that be? You know, I'm a good nurse. Matter of fact, I'm a great bedside nurse and I do great teaching families. They love me. So how hard can it be teaching? Well, I was in for a rude awakening, and it took me a long time to figure out what teaching was about. In 1996, started teaching child and family nursing. I taught in the labs, and I had an affinity for technology. So as our program grew, and we moved out of the old Sunday school rooms and the double wide trailer that we had out back where we had our skills labs, I was asked when we were building a new building in 2005 to be on a committee to hire a new lab coordinator or lab director. And so I was on the committee. They couldn't find anybody to hire. And because of my affinity for technology, they thought, oh, Beth will be good at this. So we had a rep come in from a company, and I went with much hesitation to learn about these mannequins. And I thought, they're okay. I don't see why we need mannequins to teach. You know, we can do injections in oranges and blah, blah, blah. But I just didn't see the value in it until I began doing some research, and I did some research and I found what is now Anaxyl. Back then it was a lab coordinators group, or I can't remember the exact name. And then I began finding other sites and other information online, and it really piqued my interest. So I agreed to take the job as a lab coordinator, and we moved into our new building in 2006. And we had 2 8-bed labs, a 7-bed acute care lab, and 4 peds OB spaces. And I knew nothing about simulation except for what I had read online. So little did I know that Deborah Spunt had been a consultation on our space, because I really wasn't involved prior to us moving in and taking this job. And so my dean said, why don't you call Deborah Spunt and see if you can go see her? Well, I happened to have a wedding planned in Baltimore, and I went to Baltimore to see her. And part of my story is embarrassing. I was in a rental car, and the clock was on Central Time, and she was on Eastern Time. And so I get a call, and she's like, I thought you were coming. And of course, I didn't know who Deborah Spunt was, really. I didn't know she was important at the time. Not that I would have been any more disrespectful of anybody, but I was still embarrassed that I was an hour late. And I said, I'm on my way. I'm almost there. So she was so gracious. I just can't tell you how kind she was to me. She toured me around. She spent a couple of hours with me. And I, at that time, was hooked. That's all it took. I was excited. I began to get involved in Anaxyl. Then I invited Deb to come to Belmont. I needed somebody to help me be a champion, to really talk to people about simulation, because really people didn't know back in 2006 and 2007 about simulation. And unfortunately, she got really sick. You know, her cancer had come back and she couldn't come. She had the plane trip already planned. I mean, it was the day before she said she couldn't come, and she died not long after that. But Terry Beasy came, and Terry was great. She helped excite my faculty. And I just continued to do work on simulation and integrating into our curriculum. Also around that time, my dean came to me and said, I've applied for an RWJ grant, and we are going to have a conference where we teach all the nursing faculty in the state of Tennessee how to use simulation. And I was like, okay, I don't know anything about this, but I'll do it. I didn't even know what a grant was at that time, really. I mean, I did, but not really. And it turned out to be the biggest blessing. We had our first conference in 2008, and it was called From Out of the Box and Into the Curriculum. And what a perfect name, because at that time, most people had their mannequins in their boxes still. So we had a great turnout. I think we had 120 people our first year. That was in 2008. We've had a conference every year since, and we eventually formed into the Tennessee Simulation Alliance, which I was the president and founder of for quite some time. I would be remiss if I didn't thank Melinda Clark from UT Knoxville School of Medicine and Teresa Britt from CHIPS in Memphis. They really stood by me. We locked arms, and the three of us made it successful. We're now an affiliate under the Tennessee Hospital Association, and it's a full-fledged alliance, and we have a great website, so we'd love for people to look at that. Also, around 2008, we became a center of excellence, and I got to bump elbows with people like Paul Frampas, John O'Donnell, Mary Cato, Jeff Miller, just some people that I had no idea who they were, and I think at the time they were just learning too. So we all learned together, and I began to get a community that I could rely on. Another funny story is I was trying to develop some policies and procedures for our simulation center, and I posted it on a listserv somewhere. You know, back then listservs were totally different than they are now. And this guy named Michael Seropian said, just call me, I can help you. And I still remember where I was standing. He was so kind to me. And right now he's our consultant for our new building. We're opening a med school, so he's our consultant. So we've had a great relationship. He has been a great mentor to me. In 2012, I became a HIT scholar, where I was on the faculty development to integrate technology. And I worked with a pharmacy colleague of mine. And that's where I met Marianne Rizzolo. And she has been my mentor forever and just a dear, dear friend. I love her like a mother. She's wonderful. And Vanderbilt at that time continued our RWJ grant and kept our alliance going. So I was really involved in that. I became much more involved in Anaxyl and in SSH. I'm an SSH accreditation visitor. Our center was the first accredited center in the state of Tennessee, so we're really proud of that.
Yay.
I know, that's something, and we're getting ready to go up for reaccreditation, so that's something exciting. And at Belmont, some of the things that we do, we work a lot on interprofessional simulations. We have a new concept-based curriculum where we are integrating simulation. I have four sim specialists that are master's prepared nursing faculty that help run our sim. They do all our debriefing and pre-briefing, and I'm really proud of that. I'm also work with the NLN a lot. I write for their blog, The Nursing Edge, and I'm on their board for that. So simulation has just been such a gift when I look back and think, you know, I didn't really want to work when I was a brand new mom. I wanted to stay home, but that's not really the path that I felt like God had me on. And so it's been a real big gift to me to see how it's unfolded and how my career has unfolded. I've been really blessed, to say the least. We are working right now, the NLN, on the ACEs Plus simulations, which are the LGBTQ Plus simulations, and those will be coming out soon. We're piloting those right now. I guess that's all. I don't know. I could just talk and talk and talk, but I've just been really blessed to have a great career, and I'm really excited about our new med school. I do work with PT, OT, social work, nursing, exercise science, and pharmacy, so we've got a lot at our center, and it's just an exciting place to be right now.
Wow. Exciting. Thanks for sharing. Now, do you want me to call you Dr. Hallmark or Beth? What would you prefer?
No, Beth is fine. Absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is, tell me about a simulation story that had an impact on you. And after a few of the simulation stories I have heard, I'm not going to start with, tell me your favorite.
Yeah. You know, I think I thought about this a lot. It's very hard for me. We do our simulations and then our students go and they work in the healthcare environment. We sometimes get some feedback about somebody that, you know, just did a sim and they were able to do CPR or they ran a code successfully. But I've got two little examples that always stick back in my mind. One of them is an interprofessional sim we were doing with pharmacy. The nursing students were, and while we were debriefing, one of the pharmacy students actually said, I didn't know that nurses knew so much and they were so smart. And I was like, yep, we do. And that's not against the pharmacy students. It was just such a great example to me of what simulation, interprofessional simulation can do. And we could see the benefits of teaching each other about each other's disciplines. So that was one of our objectives. So that was really good. And then I told you we do a concept-based curriculum. And one of our concepts is perfusion. And so you think perfusion, you know, gunshot wound, something like that. Well, we do a postpartum hemorrhage and we don't do it during OB. We do it their last semester in an acute care course. And my favorite thing about it is to see the students' light bulbs when they see that perfusion is perfusion. When you're bleeding, you can be vaginally bleeding, you can be bleeding from an artery, you can have a gunshot wound, a trauma. If there's all types, you can have a tonsillectomy and bleed out. There's lots of ways to bleed. But the students making that connection in the debrief is my favorite thing that we're doing right now, because they're able to see, wow, their blood pressure is dropping, their heart rate's going up, and I've got to do something. And they've got gushing of blood coming out from somewhere. So it's been kind of controversial actually with our faculty, because some faculty think it doesn't go in there. But to me, it's a great example of figuring out the concept of perfusion and seeing the students' light bulbs go off. It's probably one of my favorite things that we're doing right now.
Awesome. Thanks. Beth, what do you think the future of simulation is going to look like? Where do you see things going?
Well, that is a loaded question. I feel like, of course, augmented reality, VR, you know, all kinds of different virtual things are going to be important. But I think what I'm seeing, and actually this goes back to my daughter who teaches kindergarten. She teaches kindergarten. She has a kindergarten class that has never been to school before. And she sees a lot of differences in their behavior because they've never been exposed to a setting where they've had to learn to communicate, learn to cooperate, all those things. They've been at home. And so I feel like simulation is going to have to be used to help with communication, decision-making, things that we take for granted that simulation does, to be honest with you. It helps build confidence. And I know we've done that over and over and we're tired of hearing about confidence, but really giving a student confidence to walk into the room and talk to somebody, especially in this advent of COVID, I feel like that the future of simulation is to help students make decisions, Not skills. I mean, skills are important. You got to know how to put a Foley in, but you've also got to know when to walk in the room and have that situational awareness. And I feel like that's one thing that we can do virtually, but I also think it's important for them to get some more communication strategies. We're using a lot of actors as our patients now and as our family members. We do a great end-of-life simulation where really the objective is they know the patient's going to die. They're talking to that family member. So I feel like that's really where it's going. I know that all the virtual things are going to have to come, but I don't want to lose some of those things that I think we will if we're not careful.
No, I totally agree. I think those crucial conversations are paramount to have in healthcare. I am, you know, I think nursing students and medical people all go into it thinking, you know, we're going to save lives and stamp out diseases. But at the end of the day, a lot of times we're just having that vulnerable conversation with somebody about, we can't fix this. We can't stop. So I applaud you guys for that. Thanks. Beth, what do you think about telehealth?
Well, that's interesting that my experience with telehealth personally was, you talked about my parents in the beginning. You know, I have a 91-year-old dad and an 87-year-old mother, and I do a lot of telehealth appointments with them and did during COVID. But I also used my parents to do telehealth with our students, which was really interesting. So I don't think we'll ever go back. Telehealth is here to stay. I think it has its place, but I think as educators, we have to train our students to use telehealth. And we had so much fun. My daddy was a patient. My mother was a patient. And, you know, you do what you got to do when you're in the middle of COVID, and they loved it. They had a ball doing it. So I think that's important. This is not really telehealth, but it's something that we did that I actually got from a friend of mine at UT Arlington. They do virtual sim where they put like the iPhone on their head, and this is what we did. And we had our students at home, and they were telling us what to do. So we were the hands and feet. So while that's not telehealth, it's just another example of that using technology for simulation. And so I think we have to train our students to use telehealth, especially our graduate students just anybody. I think when I was a clinical specialist, you know, if I was having to talk to somebody about a G-tube wound or something like that. So I think it's here to stay, and I'm excited about it. I just want us to make sure we prepare our students for it.
So Beth, excuse my question here. How do you put your iPhone on your head?
Well, they make a little thing that it's, I know you can't, this people can't see me, but it's like a strap. You put it on your head or you put it on your chest. We bought both. And, you know, they logged in through Zoom, and they logged in, and they would say, okay, go introduce yourself. And we would go introduce ourselves, wash your hands. And we would wash our hands. And so we were still able to evaluate them. It wasn't hands-on, but they were having to talk and communicate. And so we felt like it was better than some of the virtual simulations that we were developing. So we really, really enjoyed it. It's a lot of manpower, a lot of work though. So
I'm sure there's a lot of listeners that are going to be like, yeah, that's a cool idea.
Yeah, well, you can call Jenny Rowe at UT Arlington in Texas, because she's the one that taught me. She's actually published on it. It's very, very interesting.
Now, can you get those straps on Amazon?
Yeah, you sure can. You can get them on Amazon. Just to strap your phone on your head or your chest. And that's what we did.
All right, cool.
We've got some good pictures, too. They're funny. Let me tell you, we took pictures of each other.
Why don't you send me a couple of those and we can put them in the ad?
Okay, I will.
Is there anything else that you'd like to tell our guests? Anything else you'd like to share, or anything you want to ask me? Because I only answer easy questions after 12 o'clock, though.
I don't think so. I'm just so excited that you're doing this, because, you know, simulation right now is just so important. Oh, one thing I forgot to mention is the standards, the new healthcare simulation standards. I was the lead author. I really was. And I helped herd the cats while we wrote the new professional development standard. And so there's a new professional development standard. Anaxyl and Healthy Sim are now doing some webinars on those, and they're really, really good. There's a new pre-briefing standard. And then a lot of them have been revised. I really challenge you to look at the debriefing standard. It's been changed quite a bit, I feel like. And I'm doing education for my faculty right now on all the standards. So I hope that you'll check those out. Those are a great resource.
Thanks. Now, Beth, if our listeners want to get a hold of you, if they have questions for you personally, where would they go to get you?
They can email me at beth.hallmark. It's H-A-L-L-M-A-R-K at Belmont, B as in boy, E-L-M-O-N-T.edu. And Belmont only has one L. Everybody always wants to put two. Hallmark has two. Belmont has one. So,
all right. Those will be in the speaker notes. So if you're listening and you want to find it easily, just go to the speaker notes and you'll see her connection for Beth. Are you on any social media, Twitter or?
Yeah, sure. I'm on Twitter. I think it's at @Beth_Hallmark, and I'm on Facebook. I'm really actively involved in several of the Facebook simulation pages that are really good. If you're not in those, I really recommend, especially for novices, it gets some good things. Simulation Technician one is really good. And I am on LinkedIn also. So you're welcome to find me on LinkedIn. So,
okay. Well, thank you so much for this opportunity to interview you. I've really enjoyed it.
Sure. Thank you again for allowing us all to tell our stories, because I think story is very important.
Yes, we need to share.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks for joining us here at the Sim Cafe. We hope you enjoyed. Connect with us at www.innovativesimsolutions.com. And be sure to hit that like and subscribe button so you never miss an episode of the Sim Cafe.